Welcome to Word on Fire for our first ever video interview. This is hopefully the first in a long series of interviews that we're going to be doing here on our blog, and I'm really excited that the first one I get to talk with Elizabeth Yore. Elizabeth has worked for the last 5 years as the special counsel for Harpo Inc. You probably recognize that as Oprah Winfrey's organization. And in that position, she acted as Oprah Winfrey's child advocate, both for the Oprah Winfrey Show and throughout South Africa. Before that, Elizabeth was general counsel for the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, which is the child welfare agency for the entire state of Illinois. But today, Elizabeth is a globally recognized expert on the topic we'll be focusing on, which is human trafficking. She regularly consults schools, institutions, organizations, and corporations on how to solve or at least curb the problem of child exploitation and human trafficking. It's a really important subject, and as we'll discover here in the interview, one that's dear especially to Pope Francis's heart. And so I'm excited that we have one of the world's greatest experts on the topic here. So before we begin, Elizabeth, I want to thank you for joining us here at Word on Fire, and welcome.
Well, thank you, Brandon. It's a delight to be with you.
Now, this past Easter, Pope Francis gave a very blunt interpretation of the evil of human trafficking. Here's what he said. He said, "Human trafficking is the most extensive form of slavery in this 21st century." We hear this phrase a lot, human trafficking. So let's begin here by defining it. What is human trafficking, and what's the extent of it today?
Well, human trafficking, you know, as the Pope described it in another way, he called it a meat grinder. It is the sexualization of men, women, and children sold for various purposes through force, through coercion, for either sex or labor or both. Many times these people are trafficked across borders into other countries for purposes of sex or forced labor. Other times they're just trafficked within the country for the same purposes of sexual exploitation, for pornography, for sex slavery. So those are the various forms that are existing in the world today.
Now, I mentioned this is a topic very dear to the Pope's heart. In his latest apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, he mentions human trafficking 2 times, and since he's been Pope, he's mentioned it close to 12 times. Just a couple months ago, though, he did something somewhat unprecedented. He invited 100 different people from around the world who are experts in human trafficking. These include clergy members, doctors, academics, to convene at the Vatican for a special conference on human trafficking. Now, you were at that conference, and so what were some of the things that you heard, and what did you take away from the gathering?
Well, it was very exciting to be there, because this is a Pope who intimately understands. He's a man of the people, and this is probably the first Pope that we've had that understands the dangers and tragedies that occur on the street. In fact, a wonderful story I heard about Pope Francis is that when he was Cardinal Bergoglio in Buenos Aires, he was very concerned about human trafficking, spoke out against it, about organized crime, political corruption. And in fact, in the middle of the night, he would often be called to come and help counsel women who had fled abusive human trafficking situations. And there is Cardinal Bergoglio talking to these women, trying to urge them to leave the human trafficking situations, of prostitution, of working on the street. This was a man who knew very well the dangers, the suffering, the brutality of human trafficking. So at the conference, we heard a lot about from activists who were on the streets, from nuns who have worked for 20 years in the streets of Italy, helping women who are prostitutes. You know, in many ways, the church for all time has been kind of the choke points for the supply chain of human trafficking, because prevention is something like orphanages and schools and food pantry programs and shelters. Those are the choke points in this human trafficking chain that prevents people from getting lured into it. And those prevention programs, and the, you know, and the church doesn't really brag about what it does, but those are the prevention programs that help women, children, and men from getting lured into human trafficking. So the church, we know, is all over the world, and it has a very critical role to be. It's the eyes and ears around the world of helping vulnerable people, families, and children to not get sucked into this supply and demand chain of human trafficking. And I might add, with globalization, we see that, you know, with one phone call, you can order up a child for sex, order up a woman for forced labor, and that those individuals are produced through the magic of the internet very quickly. In days of old, they didn't have that communication chain. So those were some of the things that we learned about, including telling the stories about what is happening out there, not only in the United States, but in Asia and in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and in China as well.
Now, you told me that one of the surprising revelations of this conference was that a growing cause of human trafficking is child surrogacy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. One of the things that people have been, people who are on the ground serving these victims, they're finding a huge spike and increase because of the same-sex marriage movement that's become global, is that there is now in the supply and demand chain a demand for babies. And as we know, organized crime, criminal gangs will begin to feed into that, whatever that demand is, and get children however they need to do that. There were story after story about women who were, poor women who were abducted, held against their will, raped, and their children were then taken and sold to couples illegally, sold to couples illegally wanting children. We've seen a huge spike in Eastern Europe of the selling and trafficking of human eggs for couples who want to have children. This is the brave new world. We know that with sex selection abortion in Asia, there are 300 million fewer females in Asia and China. And when there is this gap or void, we know that evil steps in to fill the vacuum. And so what is happening in both Asia and China is a huge spike in trafficking for pornography, for sex, for prostitution, all because we have this huge void of 300 million women because female babies were aborted through sex selection abortion. And so these are the phenomenon that we're trying to deal with in this whole human trafficking dilemma that has various, it's not only street children who are being sold to sex traffickers, it's women in prostitution, it's forced labor, debt, bondage, women who think that they're going to a beautiful country and make a fine living and end up having their passport and all their papers taken and then working for nothing and never getting out of sex slave situation or labor situations. So there are various forms and mutations of this organized crime activity, which is very, very profitable. In fact, more profitable, they're now saying, than the trafficking of guns and drugs. Because if you think about it, guns and drugs can be sniffed out by dogs. But trafficking of people, you know, these people will not disclose that they're being victimized. These people, you know, when they're seen at the borders, they're just let in. And so as a result, human trafficking is much more profitable. People can be resold, unlike drugs. Once they're used, they're gone. And so for that reason, organized crime is stepping into this, unfortunately, vast field of human sacrifice.
You mentioned the vastness of it. And I think most of us individual people looking at this issue from the outside are just overwhelmed by the scope and the broadness of this problem. I mean, You hear it often said that there are more slaves now than at any point in human history, and it's because of this growing plague of human trafficking. So from an individual perspective, what would you recommend that an individual can do to help curb this problem?
Well, it's said that there are 30 million human trafficking victims in the world. And there is a lot that people can do. You know, we all know that horrible case in Cleveland where those three girls were being held as sex slaves in a neighborhood. People need to just open their eyes, become aware that this does exist in the United States, whether it's young children who are lured into prostitution, whether it's people who are being forced against their will to work for next to no money. Open your eyes, get educated. There are lots of websites on human trafficking. You can learn that it could be your next door neighbor. It could be certainly in your community, helping shelters, helping food pantries, talking to people. You know, when women go to get manicures and pedicures, talk to the women who work there. Many are brought over into the United States and are held against their will. It's opening your eyes and serving the vulnerable, in those that, you know, are on the fringe that we tend to ignore or close our eyes to. There's people, you never know when you're going to run across a victim that needs your help. So we know, and in London this week, there was a case where three women for 30 years were being held against their will. So there are situations in our neighborhoods, and all it takes is, number one, a heart to be open to it, and two, to open our eyes and to educate yourself and to have your antenna up that something could be wrong.
Well, thanks again, Elizabeth, for joining us. I know I've learned a lot more just in this conversation about what human trafficking is and how to help stop it. Where can people go online to find out more about your work and read more of your writings?
My website is www.yorechildren.com, and that, and I Twitter at Elizabeth Yore, Y-O-R-E, and I'm on Facebook as well.
Excellent. And for more interviews like this, check out our blog at wordonfire.org, which is the blog run by Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.